Good afternoon. We really appreciate you being here this time of the day. My name is Meir Mendelovich. I am a program manager in the application proxies team, which is part of the Azure Active Directory team. And here with me?
Arya Biblowitz. I work with Meir in Azure AD application proxy.
So what we are going to show you today is a work that our team is doing for the last, a year and a half. And it's really, really, really frustrating to do the work and not let the world know about it. So now this time is very happy time for us because we can speak freely. We can share everything. We have no secret from you. And we are going to share everything we know and everything we have about the two application proxies that we have on the market. And I would also be happy if you can ramp up and come to me and we can have discussions afterwards. Everything is fine. We are very happy to share this stuff with you. So let's talk about direct access. Remote access. We'd start by doing an overview of the application proxies that we have. And then we would talk about the Azure AD application proxy. And we would continue that with the web application proxy part of Windows Server. And then hopefully we'd have time for Q&A. So first of all, the problem that we are trying to solve is remote access. Let's dig a bit about and talk a bit about this problem, about remote access. So in this area, we have these users using their device. And on this device, they have their identity. Identity always exists. It's not a networking problem. We know some companies look at it as a networking problem. We have real people there, and we have real identities. And on top of that, we have real devices, devices that are managed, or maybe devices that are unmanaged, and no one actually controlling them. We have all these options that exist. So Microsoft has several different solutions for that, depending on the resource you want to get access to. So the first type of resource is desktop virtualization, what you know as remote app or remote desktop. And many companies are using that. And Microsoft have a fine solution for that. On Windows Server, it is called Remote Desktop Gateway. And on Azure, it's called Azure Remote Apps. If you haven't looked at it, go. It's an amazing solution. Highly recommend. The other type of applications are the old client-server applications that still exist. We know that they still exist. And in Windows Server, we have a solution, a set of solutions that are all part of the remote access role in Windows Server. But we also have a solution that is also in Azure that you can use. But we come here to talk mainly about the other option, about the web applications. And they take more and more share of the mind share of the organizations. Like if we did this session like 10 years ago, we talk a lot about file share access. We talk about a lot of these client servers. But today, web is the predominant way to deliver applications to your organization. And for that, we also have two solutions. We have web application proxy in Windows Server. And we have Azure AD application proxy. This would be the focus of our current session. So let's take a bit of a different look about that. And let's go into the time tunnel and go 10 years, 15 years ago. This is how world looked like. If I could take a picture here about a happy IT person, everything was fine. All the users were in the office working with their desktops. We have Active Directory registering everything. And of course, we have these applications that were on-prem also. The life was simple. Sometimes we have this desktop in other locations, so we looked at it as a networking issue. We basically extended the on-prem to other locations. Yeah, that's a valuable solution. Everyone were doing that. But then the interruption began, and the world began a bit complex. We have these devices. The one that are, God forbid, are not even sometimes Windows devices. I know that there are people that like fruits on their devices. I don't understand why, but they are there. And sometimes it's even the CEO that calls you in the middle of the night, I need access to my SharePoint server, and I have only my iPad with me. What I'm doing? So this triggers a lot of thinking in the organizations. Some think that this is just an extension of the corpnet, just an extension of the on-prem. So why don't take this on-prem, and with help of lots of hardware, we would make it, extend it into these devices, devices that are not managed or managed by a different solution or whatever it is. So there are companies that went this way, but I think that today the most common way to support these kind of devices is reverse proxy. And with reverse proxy, this is why we have web application proxy that is baked into Windows Server. It was released, the first release was in Windows Server 2012 or 2. And today we would discuss together the features of the vNext that would come with Windows Server vNext. So this solution is here. This solution keep and evolving all the time. Another interesting thing here, we know that some of you, actually, if I would do like ask you, I guess most of you would raise your hand, have our previous solutions there, TMG and UEG. Now, it's a long story why we decided to terminate them and start from scratch in Windows Server. But once you would play with this new web application proxy, you would figure out it in a second. Because it takes time, the time to deploy it is much shorter. And it's much easier to deploy than anything we did in the past. Now we were happy. We had these reverse proxies in place. Everything was fine. Now another thing coming, the SaaS applications. I still, by the way, hear companies telling us that there is no SaaS application in the organization. Anyone wants to make this claim? Okay, good. If you wanted to raise your hand but was embarrassed to do so, there is a magnificent tool coming from our organization called Cloud App Discovery that actually let you sniff on what your users are doing and shows you how many SaaS applications. So if I ask you what the number of SaaS applications is in your organization, I promise you once you install the Cloud App Discovery and run it, you would find that it's at least twice than what you were thinking. So these are SaaS applications. One interesting thing about them, they also bring identity with them. So suddenly we have this identity in the cloud. And if you do the right thing, you go to Azure Active Directory, and this is now in sync with your on-prem one. Because we don't believe that the on-prem would disappear sometime soon. We believe that we need to sync. We need to look at them as a one ecosystem that acts together. So I don't know if you know that, but every one of you that has Office 365 also have Azure AD tenant. It's there. If you have a user that can log in into SharePoint Online, the user exists in the Azure AD tenant. So now we have the users in the cloud, we have the applications in the cloud, we have these devices that now takes much, much larger share of use within your organization. And now, but we're still doing reverse proxy the old way. So why not trying to do something new, something that has much better total cost of ownership, TCO? Why not trying to use the cloud to do also remote access? And this is why we have Azure AD application proxy, which we'll explain about that. Now, again, we as a company don't believe that the on-prem world would disappear. We don't believe that the cloud is just an extension of the on-prem. We believe that these are two worlds that would evolve going forward. We are going to add features in both places. We are going to keep and support and evolve both of them. We believe that we want to give you, we need to give you the control of which one you want to use, how you want to deploy your remote access solution. So we would start by talking about the Azure AD application proxy. And Arya.
Thank you.
So, thanks. So hi, everyone. Let's talk more deeply about Azure AD application proxy. We call Azure AD application proxy remote access as a service. It's bridging two solutions we want. First of all, you have on-prem applications. Okay? Probably every big corporation has lots of on-prem applications. They have invested lots of money and lots of time in building them and maintaining them. They're not going to go away today. They're not going to go away tomorrow. We're going to have them for a lot of time. Maybe you can't migrate into the cloud. Maybe you don't want to migrate into the cloud. They're going to be on-prem, and you need to let your users access those applications. From the other side, we have Azure Active Directory. If you haven't gone to a session on AAD, there's a session tomorrow on AAD Premium. I really recommend it. It has lots of features. So AAD is it's a whole group of functionality that is added to your directory that you can use, and it's on the cloud. Microsoft maintains it, so it gives it a lot of value. And we are bridging those two places. We are getting your on-prem applications added as part of AAD. And on the other hand, we're having your on-prem applications published so the users can access it from the cloud. Remote access as a service. What are we giving you? Well, first, it's very easy to deploy. We'll do a demo here. We'll show later. It's incredibly easy to deploy. I mean, how much time it takes to deploy a remote access in a corporation? Takes a lot of time. We'll see. We'll see how easy it is. Also, we have very deep integration with Azure Active Directory. Reporting, auditing, assignments, synchronization with on-prem. We want to have that both for SaaS applications and on-prem. And more security. Let's talk about each of these points. Well, first, how does it work? How does application proxy work? First, we have the connectors. These connectors are very, very slim components that you install on any server that is on your corporate network. Okay? They don't have to be installed on the DMZ. They can be installed on the DMZ if you want. But the value we have here is that these connectors only do outbound connections from the corporate networks outside. You don't need incoming ports open. You don't need to put resources on the DMZ. I mean, think about it, how much time and bureaucracy it takes to put a server on the DMZ. You also have to discuss which ports we open. We have to do a lot of work. We basically say, no, don't do that. Put the connector inside the corporate network, and you don't have any incoming ports. We think this is a very big value.
Are you receiving permissions from the networking guys, the one that opens ports in firewall?
Well, no, as I said, no incoming ports. I'll say that again. Second, disk connectors, when they go out, they work together. You don't need to load balance them. We do the load balancing. You can install two connectors. You can install five connectors. No need for anything on top of that. They do their own load balancing and connect to the service that we provide on the cloud in a secure way. After this, there is a very short publishing experience in the Azure portal, in the AAD portal, where you create an application that your users can access from the cloud on-prem, and you define which users exactly you want to access. Very granular definition of who grants access to which application. And your user will get this. This is a URL that will be accessible to the users, and it's also part of the access panel, as I'll say a bit later. He goes to the URL. We provide the tunneling. We enable the connectivity from outside the corporate network into the corporate network, again, without any inbound ports, fully secured from the front end, and fully and very, very easy to deploy. Now, the second point I want to talk about is that we are not alone. We are not a single product. Application proxy is one part of the big solution that's Azure Active Directory. So first of all, I'd like to talk about the access panel. When your users want to access an application, they have their SaaS applications, and they are defined in the access panel. If they access Box, if they access Salesforce, they're going to have SSO through the access panel. You probably have many on-prem applications. You would like the users to have a single point of access for all of them. And application proxy will put those applications in the access panel, so there is a single point where they click and they go to the applications. Doesn't matter if it's on-prem, doesn't matter if it's SaaS. An application is an application. Second, we use Azure Active Directory for authentication. This is the same service that is providing authentication for Office 365. This is a very, it's doing billions of authentications every week. It's very secure. It has many features, such as multi-factor authentication, federated identity, and many features that are added automatically. As you add an application, an on-prem application, to AAD, they also get these features. Okay, so for example, if you currently have a remote access application and you would like to have your users to have multi-factor authentication, this requires a lot of deployment on-prem, right? This requires servers, this requires configuration, requires integration, maintenance. Everything is done by Azure Active Directory when you use the Azure AD application proxy. Okay? The reduced TCO is big. The reduced the headache of maintaining all the infrastructure is gone. Okay? And reporting and auditing, for example, you would like to know who is accessing which application, when, from where, from which device. Again, doing this on-prem, it's not that it's not possible, but it's both expensive and it takes a lot of time. Azure AD provides all of these features. The last point I want to talk is the security. Okay? You want to publish applications. It's not like if we want to publish or not. We have to publish these applications because their users are everywhere. They want to access their applications from their devices, and we have to provide a secure solution for that. And when you open ports, when you have your own on-prem security front-end that opens ports that are listening to the internet, you're the target of attacks. People are going to try and attack those applications. Application proxy has a front-end in the cloud. This front-end is on top of the Azure infrastructure. It has a lot of protection and it has a lot of heavyweight lifting that we are doing. We are doing the monitoring. We are doing the auditing of the service, patching of the service. Everything that we have for Office 365, it's also for us, for application proxy. Like, say for example, if you had, let's say, some security problem that we had.
Oh, yeah, there was a very famous one recently.
I think I forgot the name. Do you remember? I don't know. Okay. I remember there was one problem with Bash. This is a new one, right? It's a Bash bug. I'm really not sure what the name is. But think about it. They're attacking the servers are located at Microsoft data centers. We are surely going to get those patches for those servers a lot faster, and we're going to monitor those servers a lot better. Because what do you say? We have this infrastructure that it's global. We have 16 data centers all over the world. We have to take care of all those infrastructure. We're now taking care also of your front end, of the front end of the applications you are publishing. We're not taking care of that.
Let's do a show of hands. How many of you looked for machines that have the Heartbleed bug 6 months ago? Quite a few, yeah. The other ones, I wonder if it's because you have only Microsoft. I hope that it's because you have only Microsoft solutions that were not affected.
So, another thing that we have is as part of Azure Active Directory is login of, for example, if you have machines that have bots installed, Microsoft has this cybercrime unit that monitors and tries to find machines with IPs that are infected with bots. All this information is taken by the Azure infrastructure and passed to all the services, including Azure Active Directory. So you have reports. For example, if someone tried to log into an application and his machine was infected, maybe it was infected last week and not now, but it was infected, you'll get a report. This machine was infected, and it tried to log in. Another option is, for example, if your user is suddenly doing login from Tokyo, and 2 hours afterwards, he's doing login from London. That's impossible. Doing this kind of analytics on-prem, it's difficult, if not impossible, but it's surely very costly. This is part of AD, and this is part not only of all the SaaS applications. The world is not only cloud. Applications will be on-prem. They will stay there a long time. So we want to give you all of this value, both for the cloud and for the on-prem, in a single point of management, single point for reporting, for auditing, for doing all of your manager things. Not 2 places, just a single place. So I've talked a lot about the things we have. Let's do a short demo of publishing and enabling application proxy.
Number 1.
Okay. So this is a production environment. This is not demo. This is what you currently have in the Azure Management Portal. First of all, Azure Application Proxy is a premium feature. To be able to use it, the tenant has to be AAD Premium. You can very easily get a trial of AAD Premium, a 90-day trial for AAD Premium, and enable it. I've already done that. But if you're going to try Application Proxy, you need to go to the licenses, and here you will get a link where you can enable the trial. It's a 90-day trial with 100 users that you can activate. Okay. How do we enable Application Proxy? Well, first of all, we need to enable this feature. We thought that this is a central point that is going to give access to a lot of on-prem applications. So we have a central point where you can both enable it and disable it. So for example, if you think you have a breach, or if you think you suddenly, you just decide that for some reason, for security reason, some problem that you're having with your security, you want to close the network, you have a single point where you can enable and disable the feature here. And application proxy. It's enable, disable. One single click, you can close all the remote access to all of the applications. Here I want to enable. Click on save. Okay. Now the application proxy is enabled. The next thing we need to do is to install a connector on-prem. You can see here a link that takes you to the download page of the application proxy. I'll simply accept, and I'll download the file. As I said, you saw this download took like nothing. It's a very small component that you just download and install and register against your tenant. Let's go to this virtual machine I have created. I already downloaded this connector. Okay. That's better. I already downloaded the connector previously. It's the same connector that I downloaded that you can download. After the session, you can download it. It will be the same one that I downloaded here. And the installation procedure is it's so easy, you won't believe it. Let's do it. Okay. First of all, the typical installer, next, and install. This is, by the way, a Windows 2012 R2 machine that I created on Azure today, or I think yesterday or today. Nothing special about it. I didn't have to configure anything new. It's a machine that just download the installer, and you get to this page after installation. You have to register. This registration is what connects the connector and the AAD tenant. This creates both trust between the two, So you have a connection that is authenticated from the connector to the cloud and from the cloud to the connector with certificates on both sides. So let's log in with my user. This user has to be a global administrator in the tenant. We don't want the in AAD you have many level of users. You have billing users, you have users that can grant access to other stuff. You have to be a global admin. This is a security product, and we want to have the people that are using it to be a global administrators. I'll enter my password. Okay, after a few seconds. Finished. Okay, that's it. We have now connectivity between on-prem and the cloud. 5 clicks.
Yes, but what about you didn't show us how to configure DNS to do that? You didn't show us how to issue a certificate for that?
Okay.
Where are they all gone?
There is no need for configuring any DNS. There is no need to configure certificates. You will see that the applications are very easy to access through the My Apps. So you don't need a special URL for your users to access them. We provide the URL. We provide a Microsoft-owned domain, which has a certificate that we own, that we maintain, that we show to the machines that are connecting to our service. So this is, again, less maintenance on your side. Furthermore, it's a URL that we give, so you don't have to do any DNS routing, any special configurations. Everything is done by the application proxy itself. So after doing this, I'm going to configure an application. Okay, this is done in the Applications tab. This, if you are not familiar with the Applications tab, here you can configure applications that you develop, for example, and you want to use Azure Active Directory to authenticate with. This is also the place where you can put SaaS applications and enable SSO to them using Azure Active Directory. The third option that we are presenting today is adding applications that are on-prem. All of them are added using this, the Add button. But before that, I actually want to show you something. I want to show you the sales applications that we're going to publish. Okay, here we have the sales application. As you can see, the URL, this is a local URL, sales, so it's not resolvable from the URL, from the internet. I can refresh it. Okay. Okay, it's real, it's running.
It's an old server.
It's an old server, it's not something that you can go and move to the cloud very easily.
And to say in advance, it could be, it is ASP.NET because it's the easiest environment that we can have, but if you have Apache and all this other stuff, that should work as well. Yeah, there was a question there?
The only requirement is that the connector needs to access the application. So the URL of the application should be resolvable by all the connectors. This is the current scenario. You can install the connectors on-prem. All of them need to be able to access your applications. You can install them anywhere. The connectivity to the resource you're trying to access. Okay. This is the first thing I want to show you. And the second thing I want to show you before I access the application is the access panel. Okay? I'll log in with a simple user that is not an administrator. Jose, right?
Juan.
Okay. First of all, I'll go to myapps.microsoft.com.
Yeah, and guys, you can do this as well from your devices as we do that. If you have Office 365 tenant, you can actually log in and see Office 365 there.
Okay, here we have three applications. These are SaaS applications that have been configured. Okay, and we have also an application. This is an on-prem application that I previously published. And I'll now publish another application, the sales application. So just clicking on add button, this gives you a wizard. We are the third option. Down, publish an application that's going to be accessible outside your network. You get to the first page of the wizard. Here, you have to give a name to your application. This has two implications. First of all, this is the name that will be shown to your users in the access panel. Here, this will be the name shown. So for easier discovery, you have to give it a name that your users will be familiar with. Second, this is the name that will be part of the URL that's being published. I'll show this in a minute. As we're publishing the sales application, this will be internal sales app. Good. It has to be unique in your tenant. Doesn't have to be unique in all AAD. It has to be unique in your tenant. You can't publish two internal sales apps. That's the only limitation. And as you see, you have here the external URL, right? The external URL. This is the URL that your users will use to access this application. It's composed of the name you defined for the application and the name of your tenant in Azure. Second, you have the pre-authentication method. Pre-authentication is what's happening before the users, before the communication even accesses the on-prem servers. It's authenticated. It's a second level of authentication, even before they access the on-prem application. The user is redirected to Azure Active Directory to see if, first of all, if he has a valid login, and second of all, if he's authorized to access the application. So I'll click in the internal URL. And I'll do OK. That's three clicks of a mouse. That was very fast. We already installed the connector. We did the second step, which is defining the application in Azure Active Directory. Now we have to do the third step. The third step is defining which users and which groups will be able to access these applications. This is a very high level of granularity, and it gives you a lot of control. It also has, you can also enable other scenarios. For example, if you have an owner of a non-program application, you can create a group, and you can give this owner authority to authorize to take people into the group and take them outside of the group using Azure Active Directory. So regular users can go and request access to this group. The resource owner will be the one accepting or declining this request and giving access to the application. So you're basically delegating all of the management work for the application. You're just publishing it, and the application owner is going to be the one that's managing who gets access to the application and who doesn't. Okay, so we'll go to the Users and Group tab. I'll select my user here, which is Juan, and I'll assign him to the application. Okay. Let's go back to our access panel and hit F5. In a while, it does a refresh. Here you go. I think it took me what? How much time it took me?
Yeah, about 10 minutes.
10 minutes. We installed the connector. We defined the applications. We enable application proxy. And we already have it here in the access panel. And if we want to access it, this gets redirected to AAD for authentication. But as I'm already signed into the access panel, I don't have to authenticate again.
I think the server needs to wake up. Yep.
And here you go. You have your application that was all, I mean, this is like this. You have enabled remote access, and your users can now get into the application from the outside world.
Okay, I think I see the faces. I don't really believe that we got from 0 to 100 in 10 minutes. And they think we, as sometimes happen, we show slides and not something that is really working.
What do you think? Is this light work? Let's check it out.
So we would actually delegate. We believe in delegation in Microsoft, and we would delegate the testing to you. So we are handing you over now the credential for Juan. And remember, Juan works for Contoso 25, which didn't have any remote access until we started this session. Actually, until you started the demo.
Right? Yes, until 10 minutes ago, he didn't have any access.
Yes. So you can use whatever device you have, and please ping us. There is a counter there. Arya is refreshing. And if we are not getting to 3 digits, I guess that you guys are really tired. Come on, open your devices, mobile devices, fruity devices, whatever you got here.
Okay, I'll put it also here.
Come on and test us. They're actually telling us not to do this in Tech Ready, so don't tell anyone. Thank you, everyone, for helping out. Yeah. Okay. Someone else needs a password?
Oh, you're woken up.
13 times. Three users. 14 times?
That's probably me most of the time.
So here is a confession. I actually wrote the code, and I think I have a problem with the
user
counters.
4 users, counter. There you go.
User counters. Okay, coming up, nice.
5 users, 20. There you go. So you're really accessing this application. That's really cool. And you saw it's 5 minutes, it's 10 minutes time. Very easy, very fast. Users don't even have to remember URLs. Just get access to it.
The only thing we did before the session was creating this one user because we wanted to print these devices, these things. So there is the only thing. It's a blank Active Directory as it comes when you download, when you just turn it on. Nothing special here. Hey, come on, guys. You can do more than that. I think Arya is beating you. How many?
11 users.
I will reduce your...
I can also use your time. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Yes, this application is simple ASP.NET that yours truly, and I'm not a developer, wrote up. It's the default ASP.NET. So if you're impressed from the template or anything like that, try it. you make it in Visual Studio in a few clicks. Even development challenged people like me can do that, so.
Good. So we'll come back here.
Yeah,
later.
We would have to check this
in a bit.
In a second.
Okay, so this is what we currently have on Application Proxy. It's very neat. But we're still missing features that you surely want, and we're working really hard. And one of the good things of being a cloud service is that we can give you features all the time, continuously. We deploy almost every day to the cloud. The connector is very small, so most of the logic is done on the cloud. And this gives us the possibility to deploy more and more features continuously. And what are we doing? First of all, we want to take this service to a level that we can declare it full production. Okay, we know that if you want to put remote access to your users, you don't want to give them something that's in preview. Preview is good for testing, but you need a service that it has the reliability, the scalability, the availability that is needed for production. So this is what we're working on right now, and we are really sure we can get there till the end of this calendar year. Okay? Second, we want to support a single sign-on to all the applications are located on-prem. Many of these applications currently use Kerberos. So they don't allow If you have a cloud identity, you can't log into these applications because Kerberos doesn't talk too well with Azure Active Directory. What we are working on is doing SSO to the on-prem applications using Kerberos constraint delegation. If you're familiar with the web application proxy in Windows Server, this is what Windows Server does, and we're going to do the same solution. So your users will get full single sign-on, not only for SaaS applications, also for on-prem applications. This is a great value. SharePoint that uses Kerberos, you don't have to change anything. Your users using their cloud identity will be able to log into the servers that are located on-prem. Another thing we're working on is using custom domains. While we are maintaining the front-end domain and we are maintaining the SSL certificate, we know that some clients don't want that, and they want to use their own domain. And we are okay with that. As we said, we don't think everyone has to take our view. Microsoft understands that you have different views. So doing custom domains will allow you to publish applications using your own contasa.com domain. We will provide you the option to upload certificates. We will inform you that the certificate is not working. And you will need to route the DNS traffic to our servers so we can handle these applications. Again, we're working very hard to get these features on. Another thing we are going to improve is the monitoring of the connectors in the cloud and the management of them. You will have a portal where you will be able to see which connectors are working. You will be able to assign applications to specific connectors. So, for example, if you have a branch that's located in Europe and a branch that's located in the U.S., you don't want the connector that's located in the U.S. going to the branch of Europe and the connector that's located in Europe going to the branch that's in the U.S. You would want the connector to be close to the server, and we're going to enable that. We want you to have a very good management of the connectors and the applications. And also auditing. I mean, knowing exactly what each user is accessing through the proxy, it has a lot of value for auditing. You could get any request that goes through the proxy. We know about it, and we can log it. And we'll enable you to access those requests, which user accessed which application, which URLs, when. We're working very hard to get those things. And as I said, we're working on the cloud. We have all the infrastructure on the cloud, and we're going to be giving each and every one of the features. As soon as we get it on, we'll be deploying it. And as I said, we're deploying it almost every day. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope you liked the presentation. And I'll give you now Meir, who'll talk about web application proxy in Windows Server.
Hello, let's see how many of them clicked. Sorry, in which machine is it?
Oh.
So we got to 3 digits, at least of hits.
Yep. Okay.
So thank you. Our R&D division is very happy for the extra help that you give us. Just for the who would see the recording, and we know that the user details appears in the slide. We take it down just for the security, and we don't want it to skew all the numbers. Don't try that at home. Create your own domain. Create your own telnet and go through and try and test it as much as you want. So, web application proxy. We are releasing vNext. So I know that many people wonder, you're doing all this work in the cloud, you even care about the on-prem? And the big answer is, yes, we do care about the on-prem. We do care because we know that most of you today needs this. Why you need this? You need this, and we hear it from all the customers, you need it the first and foremost reason to publish all these Office workloads. Of course, there is nothing special in web application proxy that it is working only for Office. It's work for every standard HTTP application. But we did lots of discussions with people that deployed these servers, and they asked us for many features. many features that they want to add. And today, with this VNext, we feel very confident that this is the best way to publish these Office servers. And with having all these capabilities, the new capabilities that I would show you in a second, we're actually allowing you to decommission your UEG and TMG servers. So how many of you still have them running? Whoa. Please don't. So this is, I'm also owns UEG and TMG, and as the owner of that, I ask you and urge you to at least do the first step to move away from our old technologies to the new ones. It's super simple. It's super easy. And guess what? It is cheap. It is part of Windows Server. There is no special license for that. There is no special requirements on top of having a standard Windows Server. We don't do the Nix teaming and all that stuff like we did before that created these complex deployment experiences. We are keeping web application proxy very much at the layer 7 of the HTTP stack. So you can put there underneath any IP network that you have, any Nix configuration that you have. Go ahead and at least give it a try. And the main reason for that, other than me asking, is that UEG and TMG are going to end of life. And we want, and this is the solution. This is what Microsoft gives you. And we basically give it for free to use it. And I hope that once you play with that and you actually do work with that, you would see how much easier, how much faster it is than the old solutions that we had. We had good solution, we had good reasons when we moved from UEG and TMG to Windows Server. It was a hard decision to take. TMG was started in the late 90s. UEG was started in the early 90s, the code base. And we believe that the right way to take you to the future, and yes, there is a future on-prem. I would say it another time. Is by having a fresh and modern code base, something that is built for the modern threats, not for the threats we had in the 90s. One thing I keep being asked is that if you can install web application proxy VNext on Windows Server 2008, the answer is no. Windows web application proxy is part of the operating system. It is part of Windows Server. There is no way to detach the two. So if you want to use the one that is available, generally available today, you need to go to Windows Server 2012 or 2. And if you want to try the new things, you have to go to Windows Server Windows Server VNext. And I almost say something. And we are also working together with ADFS. So in both UEG and TMG products, they had two parts in them. They had the one that took care about all the access, the actual proxy. And there was a mini authorization and authentication engine. And again, we think we have a very good authentication and authorization engine. It's called ADFS. Many of you already deployed that. So with web application proxy, we are working together with ADFS. Instead of like having this duality and cause you to create groups in two different places and manage them and create all these different tools. So this is why they are coming hand in hand. Yes, there is a question. So there is a question about the replacement of UEG and TMG regarding capabilities. So first of all, about TMG, web application proxy have only inbound scenarios, and TMG also have had outbound scenarios, like a secure web gateway. And we in web application proxy, it's only inbound scenarios. So first of all, this is something that we currently don't have solution for. Regarding UEG, we took very careful look at all the capabilities that are in UEG. And we brought the stuff that we think is still relevant today for threats that we know that exist. We have lots of knowledge inside Microsoft of what happens and what techniques are good to protect the enterprise and what's not. Web application proxy is built on top of the HTTPCs, if we want to go deeper. It's part of the, it's really part of the OS. When you tell us to publish only slash site one in a URL, it's not web application proxy that blocks that. It is the HTTPC stack beneath that. That means that if there are DDoS attacks or anything like that, malformed TCP packets or any kind of stuff that you see, it stopped way below web application proxy. So yes, we don't have a feature parity with the UEG, and we would not have, like, surprise, surprise, we don't have ActiveX controls in web application proxy. But you enjoy also the benefits of that. Like, for example, we have no dependency on the client. Just any device that speaks HTTP is fine. Same thing with the AD application proxy. And the same thing for the server. If you have a server that is standard, HTTP server works fine. That's, we are able to publish that in both solutions.
Will it be also be a fully certified solution for Link as a fully certified?
Yeah. Oh, a good question. I would pay you later for this. So the question is whether it would be a fully certified Link solution, and the short answer is yes. The long answer, we are still in the process of making this official, so expect to see something coming soon. I would show you later in the deck a link to our blog, and this is where we keep posting new stuff, and when it would be part of the OAP list, it would be there. So I can tell you that the tests are done, and it's fine. We also, by the way, have huge deployments. So before we did the IOP test, we already have customers deploying that and running that on-prem, and we got good feedback that it's working. But now we also have the official test done. We found the resources, and then we would have that official. Yeah, there was a question there? Okay, so there was a question about comparing web application proxy to other vendors. So I don't want to refer to other vendors, even though that we are sitting in a very specific room, room number. You can check it out later. So the first and foremost, it's part of Windows Server. It is using the same management capabilities that you have in Windows Server. So PowerShell, you like PowerShell? You like PowerShell? We have a very nice, this is my favorite thing about the product. So if you want tips and tricks, you can find them in the blog, and we have full supportability of PowerShell. Everything is doable in PowerShell. I would show you also the UI, but PowerShell is there. You have event log. You have all the things that you are used to from any Windows Server component. So whatever you're used to in Windows Server roles, you get here. That's one answer. And there are another answers about being part of Windows, being not physical hardware, but a software component. In the past, it was perceived as a problem. I think today, people with virtualization, people really, really like that and the ability to deploy. And I think we got to the level of simplicity that is very similar to what others are calling virtual appliances. Like, take something, turn it on, and it's working. It's not like in the past with other with UEG and TMG. And I was PM for UEG, like, starting 7 years ago. We know how hard it was to deploy that. And we know why people like appliances, because they are coming pre-configured. So we are not, you still need to have the machine and somehow configured. But once you have the machine, it's very easy to deploy. So let's take a look about the new stuff. And you see the list is long. Our team was working very hard in the last 18 months to get this ready for the preview. Now, we have here lots of feature, but now I can say in a good level of certainty that we are going to add more stuff in before we release the vNext. So to group them together, we look at them in two groups. One is the ability to publish more apps and to do this securely, meaning with pre-authentication wherever we can. Not all products support pre-authentication, but if your product supports it, we would try to do that, especially for Office servers. And the second thing, we still want to make the management and troubleshooting process as simple as possible. So before getting into the details of the feature, let me just demo them. And I would start with the most obvious feature that we heard many, number seven? That we heard many of you asking, having more stuff in the UI. And yes, I know that I try to educate everyone to use command lines and stuff like that. But there are people that likes our UI. So we are adding more functionality to the UI. And for example, here I have an application that is already published. I can do edit from the UI. And this is a wonderful way to see the features. So you go there and you have here the details that you cannot change. And there are reasons why we cannot change the name of the application or to change the pre-authentication. But for all the things that you can change, and you can and you want to make them working, and you afterwards, here you go. And of course, as usual, the UI is the best way to discover the PowerShell. So if someone wants to learn PowerShell, one of the great tricks here is go through the UI wizard. When you get to this window, just copy paste this command and put it in PowerShell. Or maybe you want to do a test cycle. So you copy that, and then you can reconstruct the same stuff in production. There are also many other tricks that we have in our blog. Okay, so even from that screen, let me show you what is HTTP to HTTPS redirection. This is just a checkbox, nothing more. I will talk about it later. If you try to do this with R2, you know you had to install IIS and you had to configure redirection and all that stuff. We reduce that to a checkbox. And we are not doing that with IIS. We are doing that straight ahead on top of HTTPCs, which is the most secure way to do that. So I would cancel that one. So let's see how we publish with pre-authentication. So one of the most common requests we got after the R2 release, the 2012 R2 release, was to enable active sync with pre-authentication. And now we have that. And we have that in the UI. All the new features that I showed you in the list are in the UI. There is no, all the new features are available both by PowerShell and in the UI. So the first screen haven't changed. It's the same thing. Either you go through ADFS or do a pass-through. That's, by the way, very similar, if you saw, to the wizard in Azure, the Azure AD Active Directory. You have the pre-authentication with the STS of choice, and you have the pass-through. And we are going to keep it in both of them. Also, other logics here are the same as we have in the online version. And this is one of the reasons is that we want you to experience that, and maybe that would be your first step in moving to the cloud. We know that no one moves to the cloud tomorrow. We are still in preview. We actually know that. But as soon as we become general available, we know that people would start to play with things, but it would take them time. So meanwhile, web application proxy is here, and the logic is similar. And if you created something here, it would be very easy to move it to the cloud. And we try to make it even easier in the future. So I choose ADFS. And now I have three options. So the first one is the default. This is the same stuff that we had in R2, in 2012 R2. It is web and MSOFBA. MSOFBA, if you don't know, this is how Office clients authenticate against SharePoint. It's a standard, it's a Microsoft standard, actually, that is available, and we support that. This is the default if you don't change anything. The third option is OAuth2. OAuth2 is becoming more and more popular, and ADFS support that. And we want you to be able to allow your customer also to use that. So if you're writing a mobile application, OAuth2 is the way to go. It is definitely not the default because we know that the people are still not using that much, but OAuth2 is a wonderful way to build a good mobile experience. And you actually had this capability also in R2. In 2012 R2, you had OAuth2. It was a bit more difficult to configure. You had to change a few settings. It was PowerShell only. But the same capability exists also in 2012 R2 that you might have already deployed. And the option here in the middle is the HTTP basic. Oh, sorry. Wrong mouse. Is the, you know what? Come here. So the option in the middle here is the HTTP basic, which is the authentication scheme that is used by ActiveSync. Now, web application proxy is all about standards. We keep attention. We don't have ActiveSync here for the reason that we want to be very, very standard. We don't refer to anything that is proprietary, or this is like a Microsoft-only thing. This is why we allow any HTTP basic client to connect. Of course, we tested and made sure that ActiveSync works, but we know that there are also other clients out there. Now, ActiveSync is nice, and everybody are working with that. And actually, I heard like two customers that I was talking to them that it was the first time they understood that ActiveSync is using HTTP basic. So, yes, ActiveSync is using that. And many have security concerns because HTTP basic is in a way like transmitting the passwords on the wild. So first of all, everything is done on top of HTTPS. But if you want to make the experience even safer, we offer you to utilize the device registration service. So by only checking this option, we now let the proxy verify that your user has the certificate, the device registration service certificate available when the initial HTTPS connection is configured. Now, this really complicates the environment, and we know that not all clients are working that way, and in some cases you have to deploy on the client devices different profile. So pay special attention. It is available, and we do support that. It requires planning and thinking and testing on the clients that your users are using. But in Microsoft, we are we take this device registration concept very seriously, and we are committed to this concept. And behind the cloud domain joiner and stuff that you saw, we have a device registration that runs in the cloud. And it was written by the same people that are writing this thing. So the next thing is just to select a relying party. And we have here, we just bring you here the non-claim relying party if you choose the HTTP basic. And in a second, I would explain how this is working. And you just fill the details here. OK. Give it a name. External URL. Certificate. And we are good to go. Now we are running a bit out of time, so let me show you another feature, and then we will drill down on how things are working. Actually working behind the scenes. So first of all, here is a feature that usually it's not sexy thing to show in demos. Like we thought about command line the same way but we got lots of applauses yesterday when Joe Belfiore showed them. But here we have the Windows event log. You know, this is like, we take this for granted. And here, if you scroll down, you get web application proxy section. And as you can see, it has a single node underneath called admin. And this node includes all the things that we thought is important for you to get the information. So if there is something bad with the service, this is the place to find it. But we heard the feedback that you want more information. You want more control. And you know that this means that the service might run maybe slower. But because we put lots of more data in the event log. So we added the ability to have analytic and debug log. So you go to the view menu, you click on that, things refresh, and suddenly you have this new session log. Now, of course, for performance, read the instructions here of how you can enable it, and the best way to work with that is just get it into a file instead of viewing it here, but this is available for you. And basically, everything that we have in our traces is now available here. So we have lots of information there. If you are troubleshooting a system, this is your way to go. Yes. So a little bit behind the scenes, how this magic with HTTP basic and ActiveSync is working. So on one side we have here the device that is sending these requests. The device is completely unaware to the fact that there is a proxy there. The device thinks that it gets to the actual server. So it sends the credentials that he wants to use. And of course, if the server is configured, we also request the client certificate. By default, it's turned off because we don't want the client to have all these pop-ups that ask for certificates. So the request is getting into the application, web application proxy, and now we have the username, we have the password, we might have the certificate, but someone have to validate that. Now, we wanted to build it in a coherent way, in a way that would allow you to manage the authentication and authorization the same way you manage all the other applications. We don't want to create a sidetrack, another place to manage stuff. So the right place for that is ADFS. This is where you manage with web application proxy all your authentication and authorization rules. So we approach ADFS, and we have now a new endpoint just for that. We go to ADFS, we hand over the credentials to ADFS, and then ADFS doing his magic. And this is the regular ADFS magic. From this point onward, there is nothing special on the ADFS side. This is a standard non-claim relying party. So if you have your rules within ADFS, like checking that the user is coming from a group X or whatever you have configured there, it would be working also for these applications. So we are bringing a new capability to the existing ecosystem. We don't build anything that requires you to do things differently. So once ADFS go through and approve these users, the thing that happens is that it has a token. Basically, it's the same token that you have when a user accessing stuff through the browser. So, but we don't have a browser here, and there is no cookies. So a web application proxy now have this token, and this token let him know that the user is approved. We let the request go all the way to the backend, to the Exchange server or to whatever server you have there, with the username and password to maintain the single sign-on in HTTP basic, the same way that the user was sending them. We don't touch the header at all. Now, if we would end the story here, it would not be good enough. It would not be good enough because in regular browsers, you have cookies. And the cookies means that you don't need to re-authenticate the user over and over and over and over again. So to mitigate this, we have a cache of these tokens within web application proxy. and we just cache the token. And if you didn't listen to my previous session that I had, web application proxy never, never, ever store passwords. This is a different from other vendors that do everything within the box. And they have all this data. If you take a web application proxy and you snapshot its memory, you would not see there any password. Not in clear text and not in any other form of things. The only thing we store there are the tokens. So the web application proxy in this scenario acts like it is the cookie jar for the client. So next time the client is coming with the credentials, the same credentials, we look at the credential at the header, and if we already saw the same header, we look in our cache. If the cache is valid, if it has a valid token that haven't expired or anything else, then we let the session go through. The next thing I want to talk about is wildcard publishing. Wildcard publishing is actually a new concept. We had it partially in other products before, but we never did this a mainstream thing. And with this version, we are making this a mainstream. Now, the main motivation was to be able to support SharePoint 2013 apps the right way to go. There is a, if you don't know SharePoint apps, they now have a new model of security, of sandboxing them to make sure that they would not interfere between each other, and even more important, that they would not interfere with the actual SharePoint server. So the way to do this is to use wildcard publishing. Now we have that. Now, while having that also allow you to do new things. So instead of publishing applications one after the other, like what, to whitelist the applications, you can now publish bulk of applications. Of course, this is not good if you have like 10,000 applications, but if you have a small office and you have a small subdomain you want to make available for some reason in pass-through, this is a very good solution. Of course, this is not our mainstream to do bulk publishing like that, but it's available and it's possible to do that. The last feature I would talk about is the HTTP publishing and the HTTP redirect. And because both of them have HTTP in the name, people get confused between them. So let me try to clear that out. HTTP publishing is just being a proxy that listens to port 80 and forward everything on the back. In this mode, this is not a secure mode. We don't perform pre-authentication. It's only pass-through. We don't want the user credential by any chance being spoofed or being stolen by a man-in-the-middle attack. But we know that there is a need. There is a real business need with HTTP publishing, and there are several cases that require that. So we have this now available in the box. HTTP redirect is a different feature. HTTP redirect is for a secure application that is published over HTTPS, over SSL. But sometimes there are cases where the user types the address in the address bar of the browser, and the browser auto-completes it to be HTTP. This is actually a security risk. We heard it from customers. They fear from the fact that someone would intercept this HTTP request and steal the user session. And for that, we allow a very easy HTTP redirect service. So as you saw, it's just a checkbox. And once you turn this on, every time you publish something on HTTPS, the users would be redirected automatically. So to summarize things, here is the list of resources that is available for you. We are part of the big Azure AD ecosystem, and the blog for that is the Azure AD team blog. And you can see that the entire blog post on all the features and all the capabilities of AD and Azure AD. And we also post them stuff about the application proxies when we have big announcements. Like yesterday, we announced the new feature that are coming to the Azure AD application proxy there. But we also keep a blog post that gives you much, much more details. That's sometimes very small technical stuff there. Our support people also posting stuff there. So if they see that there are many people that have the same issue, like recently they had how to configure certain load balancers to work with web application proxy and stuff like that, this is where we put all this stuff. And also expect a blog post there with all the resources in TechEd that would be available online. So this is the first thing. Of course, we have the full documentation for both products available in MSDN and TechNet. And it is for you to use. We are keep evolving that, both for web application proxy and for Azure AD application proxy. And by the way, we are super happy to get feedback about it. So if there is something missing or there is something you think that is misleading, let us know. We are very happy to get a feedback also on the documentation, not only about the actual product. And how to approach us? So there are two ways. For those of you who are attending and plan to come tomorrow to ask the expert evening, Ari and I are going to be there. And we have this email alias that allow you to send us emails if you want to afterwards with questions and with whatever request you have around the product. So if you like the session, we have more stuff for you. I highlighted a session on Friday, it's Friday actually morning, about how to troubleshoot the product. It's a wonderful session. I saw that I saw John do it in the past. Highly recommend that. If you are really like high percentage of your time is with dealing with ADFS and web application proxies, this is the place for you to go and to get all the tools that you need. And of course, we have all the other sessions that would be available also online. So this is why I kept them. The past session is also in the slide, that because you would be able to access them online. So we already talked about that. Here are more links available for you when you download the slides. And of course, we have the evaluation, or as we used to say it, if you like the session, go there. If you don't like, come to me. After two bottles of sangria, I'm sure that I would convince you that it was a great session. Thank you very much.